Welcome to church. My name's Toby. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you're new, you've come in the middle of a series on what Christians call the doctrine of the Trinity. And the Trinity is not a word found in the Bible, but it's a word which Christians have come up with to explain what we see in the Bible, which is that God is one. There aren't three gods, 20 gods, 10,000 gods. There is one God who rules over all things, and yet when you ask who that God is, the Bible consistently tells us that he is three persons, one God and three persons. And I showed you this diagram last week, that there you go, if you're asking what, it's God that we're talking about, the Almighty. But when you probe the question, well, who is God, Jesus answers that question by saying he is Father. That from all eternity, he has been the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't become a Father in eternity past. It's not like at one point he was just this almighty man by himself in eternity past. No, no, he has always existed as this loving Father who delights in his Son. And what that means is that the Son, though he is the Son, and though he has his being from the Father, and he has his life generated from the Father, the Bible calls this that the Son was begotten, he wasn't made. To make something is to make something that wasn't in existence, and then it is in existence. The Bible says Jesus wasn't made. He is eternal. He is infinite. He himself is God. All the fullness of God dwells in him, and yet he does have his existence coming from the Father. Now, if that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what will, and it's one of the reasons why we're pretty sure the Bible's not made up, because you can't make this stuff up. Doesn't matter how much happy high herb you're smoking, no one would come up with this kind of thing. And it does blow our minds. The third thing, and we're going to look at the role of the Holy Spirit next week, but the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit himself proceeds from the Father and the Son, and that the Holy Spirit is the bond of love between the Father and the Son. What has God been doing for all eternity? We looked at that last week. He has been in a relationship of love. Father loving the Son loving the Father, and the Holy Spirit being the bond of love between the two of them. What that means is that love existed prior to the world existing. What that means is love is right at the center of reality. What it means is that God is love. Fundamentally, right at his heart, he isn't absolute power. If he was a monad, a unipersonal God, that is just one God, one being, one person, then right at the heart of that would be power. And the right response to that would be submission. In fact, that's what Islam teaches, that God isn't tripersonal, he isn't trinitarian, he is unipersonal, and therefore Islam literally means submission, submission to the will of Allah. Christianity doesn't teach that. Christianity says, no, 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 God has always existed for eternity in a relationship of three persons. And therefore, God didn't create our world in order to somehow get love. He existed in a community of love from all eternity. Three infinite persons showering love and delight on one another. And so here's the little, I was getting a little bit carried away with PowerPoint last week, but here's a little diagram of some Christians call it, it's a dance, that the Father has been not stationary, expecting everyone to orbit around him for all eternity, but the Father has been orbiting around someone else for all eternity. The Father's orbiting around the Son, showering him with praise. The Son has been orbiting around the Father, obeying him, doing his will, seeking his glory above all other things. And the Holy Spirit has been pointing to both of them saying, these guys rock, right? That's God. That's how the Bible presents it. Now, last week we looked at the Father and what it means for the Father to be our Father. And we saw that the Father, in essence, is the life giver and he is a lover. He so loves his Son that all things in history are for the praise of his Son. and we'll get to that right at the end. But today we come to the role of the Son. What does it mean for the Son to be the Son of God? And one of the clearest places we see Jesus spoken of as the divine Son of God is Philippians 2. If the Bible were a mountain range, then this would be one of the highest peaks in it. It's one of the most complete pictures. We have Jesus, his person described, his work described, and even his inner motives described in this passage. So have a look down, and we'll see a number of things here. Look down at verse 5. In your relationships with one another, the Apostle Paul tells this church, he writes this letter from prison, and he's about to die, he's about to be killed for his faith, and he wants this church to live worthy of the Lord who redeemed them. And so he writes, in your relationships, the Apostle Paul writes, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So just before we get into it, it's relevant to your life thinking about the person of Jesus Christ. This isn't just esoteric philosophy. The Apostle Paul says this has practical application in your life. The mindset the Son had to the Father is the mindset you need to leave here and take into the world. He says, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, verse 6, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So we see, I think I've got 3 points, maybe 4, can't remember. 3 points here, and the first thing we see here is that Jesus is fully God. Fully God. Verse 6, it says that Jesus being in very nature God. Here's one of the strongest possible statements in the Bible which shows us that Jesus really is God. The Bible is not saying Jesus was a God and that there are many gods and that Jesus was just one of those gods. No, Jesus is not just one of the gods. He shares the very nature of God in his own essence. The inner substance of a thing which is God is what Jesus Christ shares. He's the very nature God. In the next line, Paul refers to Jesus as possessing equality with God. In the Old Testament, we're told that God declares, I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is no one like me. Isaiah 46, verse 9. In other words, there is no God other than the one true God. There is no God like the one true God. And yet here the Apostle Paul saying, Jesus, he has the very nature of God, which means he is God. Christ possesses equality with God, shares the nature of God. The Son is God. That's what we discover here. And we see this elsewhere throughout the Bible. You can chase it down in Colossians 1. In John 1, we read Jesus described as the idea of God, the Word of God. And it goes like this, in the beginning was the Word. So he was there in the beginning before anything was created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So there's the Son and the Father. The Word is not the Father. He's with the Father. And the Word was God. That's where we kind of get this diagram for. He isn't the Father, but he is God. And Hebrews likewise declares that Christ, Hebrews 1 verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. In other words, if you want to look, if you want to see God, where do you look for God in the world? You look at Jesus.